Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life.
Well, hello, church family. Welcome back to an Abound in Hope podcast. Great to have you here today. Thanks for listening. I'm sitting here with...
Hi, I'm Tom McGregor.
And I'm Darren Larson. I forgot to say that. So I'm normally not our host, but our normal host, Rex Gorman, couldn't make it today. But he helped set up our tech before we got going.
Thank you, Rex.
What a good man. So our Abound in Hope podcast right now is doing kind of different things at the moment. We're kind of doing a mismatch of different types of podcasts right now. So we're doing maybe some thoughts on prayer that we did recently. We did a thing on Israel recently. If you haven't heard those, go back and listen to those. But today we're kind of doing a throwback to a podcast that we've done in the past. So Tom, what are we doing today?
We are doing the Word of Their Testimony, which was a series of just our church family telling stories of God's faithfulness to them and their experience in relationship to him and in the context of the church.
Yeah. Why do we do the Word of Their Testimony? What's the point of it?
The title comes from Revelation. In the beginning of the book, Jesus makes a bunch of promises about what's going to happen for folks who overcome. And then you have to wait to the chapter 12 to find out how people go about overcoming. And it turns out that we, the people who follow Jesus as King and Messiah, overcome by the word of our testimony, by the blood of the Lamb, and by not being afraid to die because of our allegiance to him.
Yeah, because of that testimony, right? Yep. Be able to say, man, I'm committed to Jesus. I want to follow Jesus and what Jesus has done in my life. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. So we have a couple of people here today, which is awesome, who are sharing their testimony with us. So special guest, would you introduce yourself to us real quick?
Yeah, my name's Adrian.
I'm James.
And Adrian and James, how long have you been at Imprint Church, and what brought you to Imprint, out of curiosity?
We've been going to Imprint now for 1 year and 1 week.
Boom.
Whoa.
And you told me a second ago you had a timer on your...
I do. I have a little timer on my phone that has a countdown of adding increments of time.
That's fun. Why did you do that, out of curiosity?
Because I didn't want to forget.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I remember the Sunday that you guys first visited, and it was such an amazing moment because it was during our response time. I just got done preaching, and I went to the back, and you came up to me, and you asked what we were doing. Do you remember this at all?
No.
Yeah, you're like, what's everyone doing right now? I was like, well, we do response time, we sing, and we take communion. And you said, can I take communion? And I said, well,
I said that?
Yeah. And I was like, well, have you come to know Jesus personally? And you were like, yeah. And I'm like, okay. And then you looked at me and you go, but do I have to pay for it?
I said that.
You did, because there was baskets up there.
I don't remember that.
You did. It was amazing.
That's
a
good question.
Wow. It was a good question because it was all together. Everything was right up there on the front. I was like, no, you don't have to pay for it. You know, it's like, and it was really fun. And so at the very end of that time afterwards, I made a beeline over to talk to you guys, and you guys just shared that you'd found Imprint Church. How did you find us, out of curiosity? Because I remember this story too.
Well, we had been struggling in our relationship.
Yeah.
And we decided one day that if we didn't have God, that we would never make it.
Mm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so we decided that day that we would start looking for a church. And if we didn't like it, the next weekend we'd go to a different church. Mm. And that Sunday we found Imprint. I mean, we live within walking distance.
Totally.
So that was why we came here first. And we just kept coming back.
So cool.
Yeah.
We're so grateful. I remember chatting with you afterwards, and you guys mentioned that. You just said kind of we're struggling. We're trying to figure out how to do life together. And we decided to roll in. We saw your sign. That's what you told me. We saw the sign and thought we'd stop by. So I was like, that's so cool. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about yourselves. Like, where are you from? And like, start with that. Like, James, where are you from? Where were you born? And where were you raised? And all that kind of stuff.
I'm from Korea.
Yeah.
South Korea. I went to LA when I was about 4 or 5, give or take.
Yeah.
Yeah. Been there.
What brought your family from Korea to LA?
So my biological mom went to the States first.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she wanted me there. So she asked my dad to, bring me over.
Are both your parents from Korea originally?
Yes.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah. Do you remember much of your time in Korea when you were little or not really?
I do.
You do, yeah. I do. So is your first language Korean or English?
Korean.
Very cool, very cool. Yeah. Do you get a chance to use that language much?
I try with my wife.
Yeah.
I try to teach her some words.
That's really fun.
Usually it's when I'm baking or cooking something in Korean. And he teaches me the name of the dish.
That's really fun.
I'll listen for her to say something, and then I'll laugh because it's funny.
It's totally funny.
Yeah. But I'll correct her. Yeah.
That's really great.
Yeah.
So when you were a kid, did you have much church experience at all growing up?
Yes. Not too often. Mm-hmm. But I did go to a Sunday church for, trips, camps.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Was it a Christian church? Or?
Yes, it was a Christian church.
Very cool. And that was in L.A.? That was in the L.A. area?
L.A.
That's great. Yeah, awesome. How about you, Adrian? Where were you born and raised and all that kind of stuff?
So I was born in Everett and then pretty much lived on the east side most of my life. Yeah.
How about church experience? Did you have any growing up?
Absolutely none. Mm-hmm. My parents didn't believe. Still don't.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah.
Was it kind of interesting to think about church then when things were kind of between you and James? Was that outside of your realm, or were you just like in the last straw? Were you like, what were you thinking when like we got to have God in our lives?
Well, I've had previous experience like with Jesus personally. And so I knew what he could do. And I knew that James had a previous experience with God. So we both had been there, but we fell away. And then I don't know why, we were sitting in the McDonald's drive-thru. We were not getting along at all. And I just looked over at him. I said, if we don't put God in the middle, this is not going to work. Mm-hmm. Like it was a final, I'm going to pack my stuff and I'm gone if we don't do something drastic. I just had this feeling that's the only way to make it work. And
that's really cool because not having a church experience growing up, you'd think that wouldn't be kind of your first thought. You'd be like,
yeah,
let's get counseling or let's, and those are good things. Oh,
I tried that route. But
so this was the last straw.
Yes, it was.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it was. Huh. It was the last final thing to try.
That's amazing.
If you will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you'd said you had some personal experiences with Jesus. What was that like in your life? Like what was your growing up years like and all that kind of stuff for you?
So I feel like my childhood was pretty happy. I played outside with friends and went to school and there was nothing really traumatic. Mm-hmm. As far as and then, but when I turned about 15, things changed for me. And so I started using drugs. Mm-hmm. And around 2003, I had been using intravenously. Mm. And it was, the devil was all in it.
Mm.
That's even in the moment I could say that.
Mm. You had some knowledge of that, you're saying? Like
yeah,
in the middle of,
like I just knew it was so ugly. Mm. And there was this point where I was detoxing, not to my own will, but I was. And I got really sick. And I had never prayed in my entire life. I had never said a prayer. I had never spoken to God. It wasn't something that my mom raised me as important. Mm-hmm. But I was just sitting there rocking back and forth in misery all alone. And I just cried out to him and I asked him for help. And I told him that I would do anything if he just helped me. Mm-hmm. And he responded. Like I heard him in my ears. And I think a lot of people might say, oh, well, she's hallucinating, But I knew without a shadow of a doubt that was him.
Wow.
You could not convince me otherwise. it was him. And I didn't know until probably a couple years ago that he had been putting angels in my pathway from that moment on. Mm-hmm. The woman that I was renting the house from, she was an ER nurse. I didn't know that. And she took care of me until my parents came and got me. Mm-hmm. And because we didn't live in the same state. And there were just these little things along the way that became big things that were just like, how is this happening?
Yeah.
And God said to me that if I ever need him, to just talk to him and he'll be there. So I did. He was like, it was like I really had like a little best friend over here on my shoulder. And anytime I got nervous, I just talked to him and he just calmed me. And that experience with him led me to going to a, if you will, like a Christian drug rehab.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where I had a lot of experiences with him being healed. I was pretty sick physically. Mm-hmm. And he healed me of some sicknesses that would take my life. Mm-hmm. And I lived there for 6 months, and with that, I left knowing who he was. Mm. I knew who he wasn't, and there was nothing that could ever tell me otherwise. And I strayed away a few times for some long period of time because I was confused, but again, he put someone in my path that had a really strong religious background and like believed fully. And, you know, she really helped me to answer questions and talk about God. And so I'd had those experiences, which I knew were true, even if I wasn't living a lifestyle that he, you know, saw as good.
Yeah.
I still knew who he was. And I felt like I would always have that. So when James and I were struggling and I knew who he was, I knew that if we just put everything into him, that he would help us. And so and I feel like it's been, I feel like God, the church, everybody in the church has given us more than we could have ever asked for. And I remember even a week after going to Imprint, the first week, we could feel a difference. Like, I felt like God was giving us grace within ourselves to be like patient with each other and love each other more. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
James, what was your experience growing up with God? Adrian mentioned it, but like, what was that, either those moments or that experience like for you?
For me, it was more having friends, because I was only child, and it was a struggle.
Being an only child?
Making friends, connecting with other kids, you know, because English was my second language and it was really hard for me to get along.
Mm-hmm. And so when you went to that, some of those camps and stuff when you were a kid, did you have ever kind of a personal experience with Christ in those times, or was it more just a thing you did or something like that?
At that time, it was just a thing I did.
Yeah.
I didn't know about God. I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
I just went.
Yep. So what brought you from LA to Seattle then? What was your story? How did you get up here, and what brought you to this, to the Pacific Northwest?
Wow. So after my dad passed in 2006, August 8th, and so I met someone over the phone. She was a Native American. She was born in 63. And at that time, now that I think about it, I probably was looking for a mother figure. Well, so I left everything. I left my friends. I left everything I knew in LA just for her. So I drove in 2010 from LA to Washington. And she's the only one that I knew here. And just... it just went sour.
Kind of a weird relationship, tough relationship. Yeah.
She was very abusive. She gave me one of those ultimatums where if I don't do drugs with her, then I would have to get out. She said, you know, leave. So I didn't have anybody here, and I didn't want to be left out in the street. So I did it. And yeah, she would accuse me, beat me up. I lost my job. I worked at Tulalip Casino. My first day of interview, I had a black eye. Yeah, she would, I remember she would accuse me of me sleeping with her daughters. But it was her sleeping with her current husband, but she said that she was separated and divorced, but it really wasn't.
How long were you in this relationship, and how did you kind of escape from that kind of abusive situation?
So in 2010, before I left LA, I was talking to her for like a year and a half or so. And I was so, okay, could she be the one? I was like, okay. I was so just drawn to her. And yeah, like as soon as I got here, I was like, wow, okay, I think she's, you know, I've never seen her before, only pictures. And yeah, it turned out that she's just so evil. You know, yeah, it's just very alcoholic. Very like cases after cases of drinking. And she's fine, but really not. You know, she'll break up with me, and I would give space and then go back to her, or just repeatedly. Even after she beats me, and I'll still go back because I had nowhere to go.
Man, that must have been so isolating.
Yeah.
Did you have any significant relationships over the time that you were here that started to develop during that time, or were you pretty much alone? Like
that? No, yeah. She was the only one that I knew.
Wow.
Yeah, she didn't like that. If I made female friends, she would accuse me of me sleeping with them. So in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I need to not have friends. But still, she would accuse me anyways with her daughters. And it's just, it was bad.
Yeah. And you probably weren't part of a church community at this time, I imagine. Is that right?
Yes, I wasn't.
You weren't. Okay. Yeah.
So after I got... I was living in my car for about 3 years, give or take. I had no money to buy tabs, or I didn't have an address.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I would park my car, you know, at rest areas. I would park my car at the gas station, library, her daughter's property. Mm. And it got to the point where I had to spray paint my car. So, you know, so the police won't notice my car.
Yeah.
I parked it in the casinos, and I get kicked out, and to the point where I would park it somewhere and then just walk everywhere.
Mm-hmm. How did you make it out?
Yeah, how did you escape that situation? Yep.
I was hungry. I was living in my car, and there was other natives, other homeless men around, younger than me, you know. They told me there's this guy named Tony. Tony would feed all of the homeless every Sunday. And he told me how to get there. I went. Yeah, he has 4 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And his kids will help out and, you know, feed all the homeless. And I would go to him every Sunday, I think, for quite a while. I remember asking him if I could take a shower, because I haven't showered very long time. So he let me take a shower, and I broke down.
Mm-hmm.
Because in between those times with the native lady who beat me, I prayed to God to get me out of this situation here. And I didn't have the courage. And I told Tony about it. He told me there's this church that can help. It's just 2 blocks up the street, and their timing is off, you know, and because only time I'm, you know, I could make it from walking distance. But one day I decided to go. I was so hungry. Yeah, it was because of Tony I found Calvary Chapel of Marysville. And oh boy, it was such a struggle. I didn't have anybody, and everywhere I went, I would always talk to God. I would look up in the sky, and even though I was, you know, doing drugs, I would pray to get me out of it. I wasn't hooked on it. I didn't fiend for it. It was just something for me to do. I remember sleeping under the stairs of a church. It was raining. It kept me safe.
Mm-hmm.
And I've asked the church people there. I wasn't asking for money. I wanted a warm meal.
Mm-hmm.
I had EBT card. I only could buy cold food, nothing warm. Living in my car, I don't have no stove. I don't have nothing to microwave anything. I just wanted a warm meal. And that they would make some warm meal for me. But with Tony, just barbecue every Sunday. I would go every Sunday and I would just help out. I would ask, because, you know, they lift weights and stuff, you know, and then I would join in and they invited me into his house and play video games and play outside with the kids. And I met some of his friends and amazing people, amazing people.
Did Tony go to this Calvary Chapel Church as well? And so you were surrounded by a community at the darkest part of your life, it sounds like.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, so fast forward a little bit. So there's more to the story, I know, that's amazing, James. Like, thanks for sharing a bit of your story. And, you know, you guys both have kind of that dark history of, like, drug abuse and things like that that you walk through. But what, how did you meet each other, and how does, what's happened recently to kind of pull you out of some of that stuff?
So it would have been about 4 years ago. When we first
met.
Wow,
it's been that long.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to be like, I know the date exactly.
4 years ago, how long after you started being a part of Calvary Chapel, James, was 4 years ago?
Like,
was he at Calvary Chapel when you guys met?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, I went to Calvary Chapel in 2013.
Okay. So it's quite a bit.
A few years ago.
Yeah. After. Yeah. Okay. So 4 years ago. Oh man.
We met. Yeah, I was living with my mom at the time, and she was changing water delivery companies, and I was at the house when the new person came, and that was James.
No way.
And we were. It felt like we were in like middle school all over again.
Nice.
I was stepping on his feet. We were like giggling and just, it was like immediate attraction, at least for me. And he ended up leaving his phone number just in case the water machine didn't work. That's what he said. So,
how often does that happen?
Was that the reason you left your phone number, James?
Well, yeah, I mean, I wanted to keep professional.
Yeah.
I didn't want to jeopardize a customer, and, you know, I don't want to ruin it.
But you were going above and beyond, it sounds
right,
like.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it was like just, I remember he brought in a machine and it wasn't working. So he went out to get a new one, and I was watching him at the truck. And he just like flinged this big heavy machine over his shoulder and was trucking it in the house. And then he'd carry those huge 5-gallon jugs, like multiple at the same time.
That's because you lifted weights with Tony for a while. I just heard it, right? It was
really strong. And so, of course, you know, me, I was seeing that. I'm like, wow, you know. But I wanted to call him. But I was afraid, and I thought, I wanted to call him and just say, hey, did you feel what I felt, you know? But I was afraid he wouldn't think that as well, and then I'd be embarrassed. So I didn't do it, and not knowing it, he was feeling the same thing, except for he didn't want to jeopardize his job.
Yeah, totally.
So that's why he didn't call me.
Yep.
But we were both on Tinder.
Yep.
And I don't know if I liked him first or if he liked me.
He remembers.
It was me. We always have this like, was it you or was it me?
Yeah.
I don't know. One of us liked one or the other, which got that conversation started. We didn't know who we were.
So you didn't know this was the guy who dropped the water off and the water machine off at your place. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Mm-hmm. No, not until we were talking on the phone. Within minutes, though, it was like, wait a second.
I caught on because I went through the pictures. And then when she said, oh, yeah, we should hang out sometime. I was like, yeah. What's your address? And then she gave me the address. And then I looked it up. I was like, oh, this looks very familiar. Mm-hmm. I was like, hey, aren't you such and such?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was like meant to be. Like, it's like we were put in the same place, but then we were like, nope, we're not going to move further with this. And then we were put together again. Yeah. So it kind of, for me, felt like, okay, maybe this is meant to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because hooking up the water machine, it only takes about 5-10 minutes. But I was there for like, very long time, like 20-30 minutes, and I purposely made it where it doesn't work.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
Slime.
Right here on the Word of Their Testimony podcast, we'll find out the truth.
But it backfired on me and everything was working. So that's why she never called.
Yeah. You did that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's amazing.
Very sweet.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So did you guys start dating pretty quick after that then?
Yeah.
That's great. Yep.
Yeah, and it was like it didn't feel pressure-y.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but it moved pretty fast.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep.
And the first year was, I would say, rose-colored glasses. Everything was
naturally
perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the second year around, I think, was that when things started to get kind of hard?
Well, yeah, that would have been 2020, right?
Yeah, I think it was in our second year or something like that. We just started struggling, like arguing.
Oh, so
he was living then at my mom's house with me.
Okay.
So you can imagine the struggle.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a difficult dynamic no matter what.
And my mom, she's absolutely wonderful.
Yep.
But having another man in the house, you know, that just isn't awkward.
I think, I think we started arguing when you asked me how come we never argue?
Oh, really?
She said, how come we never argue? And I said, I don't like arguing. You don't want me.
You don't want to argue with me.
Yeah, I told you. You don't want me to. You don't want to
argue
with me.
And I was like, well, everybody argues.
Yeah. And
he was like, no.
You don't want that.
I'm like, but that's just natural.
It kind of felt like she was asking me, let's
have
argue.
And I wasn't. It was just, I knew that at some point, I mean,
it's gonna happen.
About things, you know, whether it's a disagreement or what not. But
I tried really hard not to argue with her because knowing where argument will lead,
like for you and your experience in the past.
Yes.
I know now that back then I did things that weren't the best way. And so I probably pushed him a lot and did things not in the best way.
Like in your
communication? Learning in the practicum, you know?
Awesome. Yep.
There's a timing of when to talk about certain things. And
it's not 10:30 at night.
And it's not 10:30 at night. And I probably...
Let's fix this now.
Yeah. I probably hassled him at 11 p.m., And so, I think that, and then when I'm I learned a lot of that from my mom. Mm-hmm. She was mm-hmm. my main role model.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
And she can be, and I'm say this gently, but mm-hmm. controlling.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And she wears the pants.
Mm-hmm.
So I've learned that from her, but I've learned this last year that probably more in the last 6 months that just because that's the way I was raised doesn't mean that's the way I have to live my marriage.
Yeah. Yep.
And I've learned that those things don't work.
Mm-hmm.
But back then I didn't sure. know that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I think that caused for a lot of our arguments to mm-hmm. not go so well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my part, but, yeah. So we were arguing and then we moved out thinking that would help,
mm-hmm.
which it probably did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, honey? Moving out from mom's house probably helped us.
Yeah.
I think for a little mm-hmm. while, like it buffered things a little bit.
Sure.
So it kind of was like we were going uphill
yep.
for a little while.
Yep.
And then it just started going back down again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you guys were living together at that point, and that's mm-hmm. when that's about the time you found Imprint, is that right? Like you after a while you were living together and you realized things were falling apart, and that's when you found
yeah.
Imprint. So yeah, you guys weren't married when you found Imprint. So
no, we weren't, because I remember asking you
yeah.
early on if you could help us.
Yep. Yeah. And we met pretty early after that. I think I met yeah. with you guys a couple of weeks after you started attending
yeah.
Imprint,
mm-hmm.
and you know, not knowing you guys were in a little bit of a hurt and in a hurting situation, I was like, yeah, I'd be happy to connect. And so yeah. we talked through things and
yeah.
Yeah. Like tell us a little bit about how you guys' relationship has developed with each other and with God over the past year. And what'd you say? Week?
A year and a week.
A year and a week. Like what has the Lord been doing to you guys in the last yeah. year and a week?
Oh, wow. God made us more, Adrian said it, you know, more patient with each other. More understanding, you know, and Pastor Darren, I just want to say thank you.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. If it wasn't for you, then I don't think me and Adrian would be where we are.
I was not digging for compliments here, but thank you so much, James. That was amazing. Yeah.
Well, you were going into a topic that was partially a little bit about you. So
totally. I have a little bit of a part in this story,
you
don't
do.
I?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I feel like we've grown in the Lord. I feel like God has shown us who He is within a marriage. And I feel like God has softened my heart for Him.
Hmm.
Sometimes I learn things about Him that make me cry. You know, maybe it's about His past or mm-hmm. whatever, mm-hmm. even current things, you know. But I feel like because when we started, so we got married.
That's so fun.
And then we started doing the mentors through the
marriage mentors. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're wonderful and they have been so helpful for us. But we noticed.
Now, this is an advertisement, friends. So if you want a marriage mentor, you should get one.
Yeah. The Baileys have been absolutely just so wonderful for us. Mm. They are so kind and they are vulnerable and they talk about their marriage, what works, what doesn't work. And they've really helped us to see things in a different light. And they really were there during a time where we were really struggling.
Yeah.
Even though we were married, you know, marriage did not fix things.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
In the end, I feel like there were expectations that we had growing up
yeah.
that when we got married, we expected those of each other.
Yeah.
And we didn't talk about it.
No, because you need to read my mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Of course you
exactly. You know, for him, it was like, I should be cooking and cleaning mm-hmm. the entire house.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you're like,
and I'm like, I like doing those things, but not every day.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, yeah, it was like there were things that then it's almost like marriage. It added a buffer, but it also brought more issues upon us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the Baileys were really helpful in that area, but then it was like, okay, this is not enough. Mm-hmm. And so that was when we had signed up for the marriage practicum.
Oh yeah.
And then you guys so graciously lent out a helping hand for some professional counseling.
Yeah.
And we found Dean, who is absolutely amazing.
So cool. Nice.
We love him. And
I like Dean too. He's a good man.
Yeah, he really is.
And I like the Baileys wonderful. As well. They're fantastic.
Yes,
people.
They yeah. all. And so I feel like we're getting hit from every corner and every angle with marriage practicum, with Dean, with the Baileys. We have so much homework we're doing every day from the practicum that I feel like the devil doesn't stand a chance, you know, because we're and they all combine what Dean talks about.
Yeah.
Is the same thing that the marriage practicum talks about, the same thing that the Baileys talk about. It's all coming from the same angle. And so it's like we have this setup of surrounding people of love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know the Baileys deeply love you guys and also highly respect you.
Yeah, totally.
They speak very highly of both of you.
Aww.
But that's a theme of other people in the community that have been in relationship with you guys is mm-hmm. they really appreciate you. They really care about you. It's been cool to see you become a part of the family.
Yeah.
And allow us to become part of yours.
So I can give some perspective about you guys' marriage, which was really fun. Like I started watching the Lord kind of transforming each of you bit by bit and by just hanging out with you. Cause we had several times where we met mm-hmm. together and kind of talked through some relationship issues.
Yeah.
And when we were first together, it was more just trying to figure out where you guys were at spiritually for me as well. And I remember talking mm-hmm. about some of those things, and I've been watching the Lord transform you guys bit by bit. And then Adrian, you're talking about getting baptized. James, you had already been baptized before. I remember that,
yes.
But you had members. Yeah, and I think that was at Calvary Chapel, is that
yes,
right? Which
yes.
is so cool. But I saw the Lord doing some work in you, like moving you from kind of these old patterns of life, addictions, and some bad relationships and things like that. And it seemed like the Lord was getting a hold of you. I remember at that point being like, man, if the Lord's transformed your life, you know, are you guys committed to each other? Do you guys want to, be in it for the long haul? And I remember you guys both being like, yeah. And I was like, you guys should get married. And you guys did. I mean, it was such a cool moment where you just chose to do it. We had your wedding I think it was on a Tuesday when the Check Ride Driving School was still going on. And like there were trucks going out in the parking lot and we're having this beautiful wedding inside that you guys were a part of.
I didn't even know that.
It was pretty cool. Yeah. And so to see that was really great. And then, you know, to see the Lord's been even having you baptized in our church in the park this last summer was really cool.
Yeah.
And so like the Lord's been doing all this cool stuff, both individually, but then I watched mm-hmm. him bring you together, and now the Lord's doing something together too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I feel like, I think it was Carissa told me that, I think it was her, that for me to get close to James, I have to get close to the Lord.
Yeah.
But James has to get close to the Lord too. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, we get closer. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like, you know, it was super important when we first started coming here that we get involved.
Yeah.
You know? And I feel like it's such a blessing because I've been to other churches And there was never opportunities for me to be involved. I don't ever remember feeling like, oh, there's something for me to do here.
Like you're a part of it.
Yeah. Like every Sunday you guys have someone speak about the different things that are going on the app and what are we doing now and what can you be involved in and do you want to volunteer to hold the doors open?
Yeah. And you're serving and greeting and.
Yeah. And then James has done a bunch of coffee.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Keeping us awake on Sundays. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, and you're doing our treat Sundays now. You're like coordinator.
Yeah. You're the coordinator.
Yeah,
at least at Woodenville anyway. Yeah. It's
at
so cool.
At Woodenville. Yes. Yeah.
That's so amazing.
No. And I was so excited when I think it was Lori. No, it was Jenny. Lori? I can't remember the difference, but when she offered if I was interested and I was like, yes. just because I think being a part of things and now we're doing the small group.
That's right.
Oh, no way.
That's so cool.
Whose group are you guys in?
JT.
Oh, you're at Kimball's. Yeah, the Kimball's. Yeah. Sweet.
So we've gone to one group so far, and we really liked that. It kind of felt like we're like adults, honey. We're married adults, and we're going out to meet friends.
That's
you
amazing.
Know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was interesting. I think the marriage practicum has been really good for us.
Great.
There have been things that we've learned from there that we have brought into our marriage. Not just the homework, but like the tools.
Yeah, yeah.
We're using them. Wouldn't you say, honey?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm starting to use the word flooded.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It helps. It helped a lot.
Totally.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. 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 And I could see. Yeah, he is flooded. Mm-hmm. And then I just take a break.
Yep. Yeah, we can talk about this in a little bit.
Yeah.
That's great.
Just give him some space.
Because marriage is hard.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's not easy.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, it's not like watching a movie. Okay, that's how it is. No. It's so difficult.
Yeah. It takes work, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's a working relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. And then God has to be first.
Mm-hmm.
He's number one, you know, and then for us to grow, God has to be first.
Mm-hmm.
Without God, nothing is possible.
Yeah.
But you know what's also so beautiful is that we together have grown in the Lord together.
That's cool. Yep.
We didn't live a life. We were good people, but we didn't live a life of quote Christian or anything. And like, it took us a while, but we started praying before we ate.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. You know, do you remember that, honey?
Yeah.
We would just start praying and we weren't good at it at first, but we just kept doing it. Now we're really good at it.
That's awesome.
And we just made up our own rituals, things, you know, when we do communion, we always pray together.
That's awesome.
Sweet. Mm-hmm.
And, doing our homework in the evenings and just, I think the Lord has touched us both individually through this time.
Love that.
And so we have, because I think it, and I'm speaking for both of us, correct me if I'm wrong, but for me, it's really important that my husband is a man of God.
Mm, yeah.
And for him, it's really important that I'm a woman of God.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some things that we're learning that we, you know, and.
Yeah, because I remember when we had this really bad argument and Adrian told me, you need to see a therapy or something, a therapist or something. And I told her, I said, it's better for us to go together. And she goes, no, you need to do it by yourself. You need to find help. And I said, no, we need to do this together. And I keep telling her that. And she goes, you need to find help. You have really bad problem, bad issue. And I went, I, you know, just, you know, to keep her happy.
He tried.
That's good.
Yeah. I went. Yeah. It didn't work.
It wasn't the, yeah. It wasn't it.
Yeah.
And then we discussed to find a church. That's how it began. Mm-hmm. We drove by.
It was COVID time. We were driving.
That's what you told me.
Yeah. You had a.
Because it's so close.
By the bus station.
Yep.
You guys had all the cars.
Yep.
And yeah, I think you had a microphone.
That's so funny.
Yeah, that's how we saw you guys first.
Yep.
And I think we came pretty late, I think, somewhere in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And I told Adrian at that time, I was like, oh yeah, we should come back. And at that time, COVID was
just beginning, or
it was almost ending.
It was ending.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It was
the
time.
Yeah. Yep,
that was the time we came to Imprint Woodinville.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the first time was the parking lot.
Yeah.
Second time was Imprint Woodinville.
That's so funny. So I didn't know you guys were there in the parking lot. That was covert, but I didn't know anyone who was there. We were in those stupid little circles, if you remember, right?
Yeah. So
we were all afraid of each other in those days.
I didn't know that was you guys.
That was us.
Because I remember. Yeah. We drove through and we were and I remember thinking, wow, this is so cool. Everybody's like sitting on the back of their truck and listening. And I didn't connect that
so
was
funny.
You guys.
Oh, you guys didn't have that really loud truck that drove by like four times when we were out there.
No.
Did you?
Oh,
no.
Tom Regan nuts.
Joker.
He had to stop in the middle of a sermon and just wait for the truck to drive by like three times. It was amazing. There were better days.
About that.
The guy in the Miata who would just go back and forth and forth.
Yeah, I remember.
You're triggering me. Let's talk about other things.
I remember thinking it was so cool, but I had the feeling that maybe I wasn't welcome.
Mm. Oh, interesting. Yeah,
like it wasn't my church, or it wasn't. You know what I mean? Like
it's hard to be hospitable when you're not allowed to leave your circle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. That's why I'm glad you guys came back. And I remember that Sunday you guys were back, which was so amazing. It was such a wonderful story. And to know you guys' story now a little more, especially some of the hurts and things that have been there, to know that God has like done a work in you both, and that the message of like new life in Christ is sinking in. I even saw that when we were doing your baptism this summer, Adrian. It was so cool to see that and to see what God has been doing in you. And so I'm really, really, really grateful for that. So you guys are a wonderful story of the grace of God. And a lot of us have prayed for you and continue to pray for you. And we're grateful that you're part of the community. You offer a ton to our community, which is so cool.
You guys together have a really cool intuition for who Jesus is and the kind of things he might be happy with or unhappy with. I appreciate your, maybe it's your emotional intelligence and your emphasis on grace for others is really, I think it's godly. It's cool.
You're also an example in doing some of that homework and things like
that
you're saying.
Like, homework.
I mean, even the testimony of you saying now, this is the word of their testimony, right? Like it's helping, it's doing something in your relationship.
Is.
And that's pretty wonderful to hear. And that's exciting.
And the couple that's doing the class.
Yeah. Dave and Vicky.
Yeah. They have a gentleness about them. Mm-hmm. And I think that James and I are two beautifully wounded people.
Mm-hmm.
And we need gentleness.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work for me to yell at him.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work for me to tell him he's something negative.
Mm.
He needs me to be gentle and vice versa.
Mm.
And so, and we've really learned a lot from that. I was actually able yesterday to tell him how I felt about a situation that happened with him between us.
Mm-hmm.
And he listened to me.
Well done.
And
nice. Yeah, well done.
Didn't get, in the past, he probably would have
maybe a little defensive.
Yeah. But you did explain why you did what you did. And it actually helped me to know why.
So he like received
him,
what you had to say first.
Yeah.
And then you guys could have a conversation.
But I needed to just say what,
yeah,
you know, and it was so helpful. And it's just so simple,
right?
But it's like, if you
it's
don't
simple in theory.
So we've been using the tools, and I think the practicing them is helpful.
Cool.
I think all in all, it was God is working.
Yeah.
And he's never stopped working. Mm-hmm. He's always working with us, with all of us.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I think that gentleness is what we all need, because in some ways we're all hopefully beautifully wounded, but he's gentle and kind.
Well, and he described himself in Matthew 11 as gentle. Jesus said, I am gentle. And then he tells us in the fruit of the Spirit that's part of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, you know? So like that is that's a part of our lives in Christ. Yeah. Emulating Christ.
And he's always been gentle with me. Yeah. I mean, even when I was doing horrible, bad things, he was gentle with me.
Amazing.
You know? Yeah.
I love the beautifully wounded idea.
Yeah, that's a great line.
I think that's something I'm going to keep with me, and because I feel like that describes all of us, Adrian, like in so many ways. I think.
Yeah, it was like a way to look at my woundings as a child and growing up, and it was a way to like look at those and see that maybe it's not all for bad.
Yep.
That maybe there's something that I'm going to learn that's beautiful from that. Mm. And same for him. And I think that we did the initial meeting with him where we individually spoke about our private trauma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was trauma that I think neither of us knew we had.
Yeah. Mm.
But who talks about that kind of stuff all the time?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just private.
Yeah.
And some of it is still being processed too.
Yep.
But like when he said that, it was just like, wow.
Hmm.
Dean.
So cool. Well, you guys, I think that's probably a good way to wrap us up here. We've taken an hour of your time and grateful for that.
Yeah.
You guys are fantastic and really grateful for the gift of God that he's given to us and you guys. Like, you are a gift to us, to the church, and I'm grateful for that. And thanks for sharing your stories a little bit and your vulnerability today. And so family, it's wonderful to hear stories like this. If you know James and Adrian, say hi on Sundays, tell them thank you for sharing their story and get to know them a little bit better and what God is doing in their lives. And if you ever want to share your story, we'd be happy to do more of these word of their testimony things. They're always wonderful. I sit here, I walk away from this being amazed at the grace of God. So, and to hear that story. So thanks for sharing with us again,
you
guys.
Thank you.
And, we'll see you next time for our Bound in Hope podcast. Take care.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.